broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Dispute that $56 million is a lot of money. I don't dispute the merits of the suit, but
we have about 33 pages in a document that we're going to do in a PowerPoint presentation, but we only have 45 minutes here to give you.
I don't dispute that $56 million is a lot of money. I don't dispute
the unpredictable red herring here is how Congress interprets this.
This is crap.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, the groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, where we give you news, talk, and entertainment that knows what it's talking about. Most important thing on this program, truth is our bitch. And we go after, surprisingly, we go after a lot of people that are never gone after on this program. Sometimes they're you and sometimes they're me. And we're going to, tonight, get our very good friend, Professor Emory Clayton, will be on the program, bud.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I was just on the phone with him, man, and he's ready to do it.
Great.
Is that the man that did a gospel?
Yeah, he did the gospel show. He did Robert is with us as well as Bud Dickman. He's the guy that did the Sunday morning gospel show, Robert, and it was a big hit with our website viewers. And you can visit us online, by the way, at philhendryshow.com. That's where you can go and see a video cast of each and every show. And we're right there right now for you. And we also have downloads. Each and every show is downloadable the next day. If you'd like to put that on your iPod, you're more than welcome to do that. Just go to our website, philhendryshow.com, and follow all the directions and click on all of the things. Now, we will have Emory Clayton on this evening. He'll be discussing with us, among other things, a little bit of a flap at MSNBC today. It wasn't a flap. It was rather humorous, but he would like to discuss it further, where Contessa Brewer had on Jesse Jackson, and she introduced him as Al Sharpton. We're also going to be talking along those lines with the professor about Louis Farrakhan stating swine flu or the swine flu vaccine being some kind of a government conspiracy to kill people. This is a actual news story, and we have Kanye West addressing hoaxes that he's dead. And I don't know whether that's a comment on your music, Kanye. I'm just kidding around. No, you know how it is, you know.
Yeah, people say either he's dead or he should do another record.
What are you talking about, man?
All right, anyway, 877-876 is the number here in the Phil Hendry Show. Yeah, well, that's a good point. Either he's dead or he had to do another record. Video makers have released tape of the Philly Acorn visit. You know who these guys are. These are the video makers that were releasing all that tape on all those Acorn places. By the way, before we get into this story here, you know the man, James O'Keefe and Hannah Giles, I believe. They are filmmakers. I say that in quotes. Well, he is. She's an actress. And anyway, well, I don't know. What does she do? I mean,
she's like his girlfriend.
Yeah, that's what I'm pretty sure.
Well, in any event, they made the films. They went in. They did the undercover sting on the Acorn offices. You know the story in Baltimore and elsewhere. That made the people there at Acorn look like a bunch of horses' asses, if you want my honest opinion. I mean, they looked like the wrong end of a horse, man, backing out of the stable after that one. I mean, you can get on and talk all you want about what you really meant to say, but the proof's in the pudding. Especially that one lady was talking about, well, you know, I used to be a whore, but then, I mean, what is that about? So, in any event, they have a new tape that they did, and this was in Philadelphia. I wanted to just bring this one small bit of information to you, because this is really important, and I'd like you to think about this, and I'd like you to maybe even tell me what you think, because I don't know what to make of it. Since people are so married to ideology and married to being conservatives or married to being anti-Obama or married to being whatever the hell it is that they are married to being, how do you figure this one? Newt Gingrich not only supports that Republican candidate in upstate New York, a progressive Republican, for want of a better term, because she's a pro-choice, pro-gay marriage Republican. He supports her because he feels it's a game changer. It's a needed game changer. It's a needed image changer for the Republican Party. And he's probably right. But guess who one of her biggest supporters is? Guess who also is coming out very vocally in favor of her? Bertha Lewis of Acorn. So doesn't that sort of...
That's messed up.
Well, it sort of messes everything up. I understand it, but I'm not going to explain it, because if I explain it, then people are going to think I'm just bullcrapping them. So I tell you what I'll do. I'll just put that information out there. Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich is the cat that formulated the contract with America in 94. Newt Gingrich was the guy who was the Speaker of the House. Newt Gingrich is the very vocal conservative to this day that has led the charge against a great many of this administration's policies and has also been extremely critical of the past administration because of its liberal spending. Newt Gingrich is supporting a Republican candidate in upstate New York who is a pro-choice, pro-gay marriage candidate who has also gained the support of the head of Acorn, Bertha Lewis. So Bertha Lewis and Newt Gingrich are supporting the same candidate. Now, what people generally do with that information is the following. Well, Newt, he's lost his mind. Oh, okay. That's like them saying Barry Goldwater lost his mind. See, Barry isn't really a true conservative. He's just a, you know, when he died, he was all messed up. You know, the real conservative, I know what a real conservative is. Barry Goldwater, you know what it is. It's like saying George Washington. Yeah, he's fine, but you know what? We've moved on since then. What did George Washington know, man? What did he know about being a general? I mean, like taking the founding, you know, well, you know what they say, and whether it was Voltaire or Alfred E. Newman, I forget who, but it is true today as it was the day the phrase was coined. All revolutions eat their young. All revolutions eat their young. Meaning, all revolutions sooner or later cast into disrepute and even infamy the very people that helped forge their coalition to create the revolution. They cast into disrepute their founders. That's what revolutions do. That's what happens. That's why Thomas Paine died drunk and broke without a friend in the world. Thomas Paine. Everybody loves to kiss his ass now. Back then, man, nobody wanted to know him. That's why they found Trotsky in Mexico City and put an axe in his head in the 1940s. One of the fathers of the Bolshevik Revolution, they tracked him to Mexico City and they put a hatchet in his skull. And even though in America we don't do things quite like that, not exactly, when you talk about conservatism and the conservative revolution and the conservative movement, I have never seen a movement quite like the conservative movement for literally consuming and crapping out its very founding thinking people. It's very the fathers and grandfathers of the movement, they have no respect at all for them. They got it all wrong. Now, I'm not talking about Gingrich. I'm talking about Goldwater and guys like that. But Gingrich, he goes back a ways, I'll tell you that. And I'll bet you anything, when people begin to put their heads around what he's doing here with this candidate in upstate New York, I got money that says they'll say he's flipped. I'll bet you anything they'll say he's lost his mind, he needs a rubber suit or a rubber room or maybe both, maybe even a rubber car, something rubber, or somebody should have had something rubber on when they first thought about him, because this guy, he's nowhere, man. All right. The two conservative activists released a new undercover video targeting the community organizing group Acorn. That's the group that's run by Bertha Lewis, who is now colleagues with Newt Gingrich and supporting this Republican candidate. On Wednesday, an attempt to reignite a simmering political controversy surrounding the Democratic-leaning organization. The new videotape shows filmmakers Hannah Giles and James O'Keefe posing as a prostitute and her boyfriend soliciting advice about a possible housing loan from workers in the Philadelphia office of Acorn. Previous video showed the same pair also posing in the same way, visiting other Acorn offices. The Philadelphia visit is significant because of a dispute over statements Acorn has made defending what took place when Giles and O'Keefe visited Philadelphia last summer. Supporters of O'Keefe and Giles said Acorn has lied about whether the two were there or were thrown out, I should say, thrown out of the Philadelphia office, that they have lied about how much they spent there and whether they... or how much time they spent there, and whether they explicitly told Acorn workers that Giles was a prostitute. At a news conference in Washington, O'Keefe went through an edited version of what he said was a 32-minute visit to the Philadelphia office. Now, in this excerpt from the new undercover video, James O'Keefe documents how Acorn, in his opinion, or according to his reporting, has lied about their Philadelphia office visits.
On July 24th, 2009, at approximately 9:30 in the morning, Hannah and I walked into the Acorn office in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hannah posed as the prostitute seeking to traffic into the United States underage prostitutes from El Salvador. I posed as her pimp boyfriend running for Congress seeking to launder the sex profits into my future political campaign.
Posed?
You may recognize the Philly location from the beginning of each video released thus far. Mm-hmm. And you may have heard about our Philly sting from the media.
Levinson tells CNN that the filmmakers made similar efforts in Philadelphia.
Once inside, we met with Catherine Conway Russell, the nonchalant Acorn office manager. You may recognize Catherine from testimony she posted to Media Matters on the Internet.
Here's what happened in Philadelphia.
First, the way we were dressed.
He was not dressed in any unusually flashy manner.
I was wearing white pants with a satin tie, and Hannah walked in wearing a sarong, stilettos, and the pimp fur with hoop earrings. She also wore a bizarre-looking leather shirt.
So?
Like, if we come to the Acorn sessions, no one's going to freak out about the fact she's dressed like this.
Acorn then claimed that we never even mentioned prostitution.
They never said that she was a prostitute.
We mentioned prostitution twice.
No one's going to be prejudiced against her because she's a prostitute.
Well, one thing Hannah did say was...
This makes me a slut!
All right, now here is Representative Stephen King speaking at today's press conference, unveiling a new undercover video at Acorn, Philadelphia.
Acorn is a corrupt criminal enterprise. That's the conclusion of the July 23rd report. But we couldn't crack into that without Hannah and without James because they had the insight to go inside those buildings and present themselves as, I'll just say, a pimp and a prostitute. And we got to look inside Acorn to see the character and the culture behind those doors in five cities. And now America is outraged, and now Congress has voted in the House and the Senate to unfund Acorn.
Well, one more thing, Steve.
Was he dressed as a male?
Now we have Andrew Breitbart alleging Acorn officials are a bunch of liars.
We have about 33 pages in a document that we're going to do in a PowerPoint presentation, but we only have 45 minutes here to give you the lies of Acorn. So we will provide for you how many lies Acorn has had. I can't think of one moment where Acorn has told the truth about what James and Hannah has done. In fact, Acorn was granted for free. Bertha Lewis was invited to come here to speak, where she propagated more lies, including the vicious and unfounded lie that James was motivated by race. She needs to apologize for that. It's not true.
All right, so obviously this guy's got a bunch of video of a bunch of really stupid people from Acorn saying really asinine stuff. And if this is a criminal organization, then they need to begin a criminal investigation. That means the Attorney General of the United States or the various states involved. That means the police agencies of the various states involved or the FBI. And that means no more James, no more Hannah. And I got no problem with them. I think they're probably doing a public service, but there's something about that guy. You know,
yeah, he's creepy.
She was wearing hoop earrings. In any event, so that's the story. And this sniping back and forth, and everybody's jumping in on the bandwagon. I mean, this cat Giles and this lady Giles and this guy O'Keefe, that's one thing. When Steve King starts wrapping his lips around something, it better feel good.
This makes me a slut.
All right, we'll be back. 877-876-PHIL, sorry.
Oh, man.
877-876-PHIL is our number. Just so you know, the name of that candidate is Didi Scosafava, and she has the endorsement of the Working Families Party, which is an affiliate of Acorn. She also has the backing of Bertha Lewis and Thad McCotter. Okay? Folks, what does this mean? Tell me. Thad McCotter, who is one of the brightest guys in the United States House of Representatives. I like Thad McCotter. I might even like this lady, Didi, whatever the hell her name is, but... the way most people think, either you're going to keep on thinking that way and feeling stupid, or you're going to have to change the way you think about things, you know? All right, companies receiving the most TARP funds, and we'll see steep safety cuts or steep salary cuts for their top executives. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
World famous Bill Henry Show.
Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We have Emery Clayton at the top of the hour to talk about Contessa Brewer and misidentifying Jesse Jackson as Al Sharpton, and then some other things having to do with the concerns, shall we say, of the African, well, some African-American leaders, quote-unquote, like Farrakhan and the swine flu vaccine, or swine flu being some kind of a government plot. I'm going to answer the question that I asked, because the question that I asked was a very simple question for me to answer, but it's a very difficult question for most people to answer, especially, for instance, if I were to ask that question, let's just say, of either Glenn Beck or Keith Olbermann. If you want to take a couple of people that represent the, you know, a couple of points of view that are shared by some, or in some cases, a lot of people, they wouldn't be able to answer this question. If they did, they would answer it in a cynical way. I can answer the question in a truthful way because I know what's going on in this country, and I've been talking about it for 2.5 years. How is it that Thad McCotter and Newt Gingrich come out in support of a Republican candidate that is also being supported by Acorn's Bertha Lewis and by the Working Families of America Party, which is affiliated with Acorn? Now, nobody can answer that question that's listening to this show right now, and I'm not putting you guys down for that, because you have been poisoned into thinking that if this is this, then that must be that, and everything follows in a nice, neat sort of McDonald's drive-through line. So if Newt Gingrich is this, then he must believe that, and then everybody else that's a so-called conservative, purist conservative, or Republican conservative, or however you want to view that, and even people that don't want to call themselves conservatives, I know full well they're conservatives. I had people call on the show last night, I'm not a conservative. Well, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yeah, you're a conservative, and you know that you're a conservative. When you say things like, one gentleman called the show last night and said to me that the real problem with the country were all the illegal aliens, and I said, well, do you support a pathway to citizenship? No. Do you support a, okay, so what do you want? You want just a border fence and real hard, but I'm not a conservative. So how does it happen that Acorn, which has been vilified by so many on the conservative side, is supporting a Republican that is also being supported by Newt Gingrich and Thad McCotter? Here is how it happens. The Republican Party in some areas, in some quarters, is recognizing that it has thrown its lot in with people that have virtually destroyed it. The social conservatives, the anti-gay marriage people, and the anti-choice people have virtually destroyed the Republican Party. I said it a year ago. I said it 2 years ago. And I'm saying it again now because we are seeing evidence of it everywhere. And now we're seeing conservative politicians who have pretty decent credentials as conservatives abandoning that aspect or that philosophical branch of the party, because they know if they keep hammering that side of things, that social conservative question, which was never really conservative a playground anyway. Somebody, you know, like Jerry Falwell got that injected into things way back in the day. They realize that if they continue playing with those people, that they're not going to have a party left. Everybody knows this now, but we were talking about it a year, 2 years ago. Last summer, in fact, the summer before last, you know how time flies, during the campaign, when we told you that there would be no Republican Party left if Sarah Palin was the future of the party. I'm not knocking her because she's good looking, or sort of some people tell me, or that she's this or that, or she's got a daughter that's, I can care less about that, man. I mean, I got no beef with the woman's morals or her life or anything else. I'm saying her philosophy, her political philosophy, is not mainstream. It may jazz a whole bunch of people in certain parts of the country, but it is not mainstream. And she is not the future of the party. And McCotter and Gingrich and maybe a few other people get it. That's why they are supporting a candidate for the United States Congress that is also being supported by the much hated, much vilified, often talked about Acorn. Now, how would Glenn Beck respond to that? He would be cynical. How would Keith Olbermann respond to that? He would be cynical. He'd say there's some shenanigans going on. Somebody's getting paid off. It's strategy. I dare them. I mean, I dare anybody to tell me what the strategy is and have it make sense. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876. Phil will be right back.
Phil Hendry. Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Here's another idiot. This is a guy by the name of, I think it's Lamar Alexander. He's a United States congressman, or is he? He's from Tennessee. I don't know whether he's a senator or a congressman, and it doesn't make any difference. Oh, he's a senator. Okay, good for you, Senator. Now, why do I say that this man's an idiot? It's not very respectful of me to say that, but I must. I'm compelled to say it. I'm compelled to insult him. Because now he proposes to waste our time with a reminder that Richard Nixon was president once, and he had an enemies list, and so therefore it's possible Obama may have one too. Now, not for nothing, but what exactly are you talking about, Senator? For instance, if you know there's an enemies list, like we knew there was a Nixon enemies list, well, then you could certainly show us the names on that list. But what he did was he took the Senate floor on Wednesday to suggest that the Obama White House is plotting a political strategy similar to that of ex-President Richard Nixon. And what is he using as proof or an example that there may be proof of this? Well, the White House criticizes Fox News. Okay, bad strategic move. Everybody knows it except the White House, and the White House is having to kind of circle the wagons on that one because it was a stupid thing to do. And they had Anita Dunn go out there and do it, and she's not too good at what she does. I'm not sure exactly what it is she does. It was a stupid thing to do. I think the president might have been counting on the fact that he has a lot of people that support him, and maybe there would be a backlash against the critical reporting of Fox. Now, as I've said on this show, and I just heard President Obama repeat it today in an interview he was doing, Fox News is like a talk radio station. That's something else that I try to get people to understand, but everybody is so literal. Well, then why do they call themselves Fox News? Because that's what they call themselves, man. You know, that's what they call themselves. Why are they called the L.A. Dodgers when there's no more trolley dodging because they've moved to Los Angeles? Why are they called the L.A. Lakers? For that matter, why are they called the, I don't know, why are they called the Atlanta Falcons? What the hell has that got to do with Atlanta? It's a name. Fox is a talk radio station. It's not a news station. It has news segments, but it's not a news station like CNN is. Now, a lot of people may not like CNN. I'm not going to argue that with you. If you don't like them, you don't like them. But I'm telling you, there's a basic organic difference between the two. The White House has taken the bait. They are vocally opposed to Fox News. It's a bad move to make. It's kind of like saying, we don't like the New York Yankees, or we think the Green Bay Packers suck, or in other words, anything that's embraced by a significant number of people. If you're a politician, you're not supposed to say, that's a really rotten thing that you guys like, it sucks, don't do it. It's just, you got to find a different way of going about doing that, see? Well, the other thing that it did is it gave this guy a chance to take the United States Senate floor, this Lamar Alexander, and begin to click off examples of what he thinks may represent some kind of enemies list. He's talking about the reported effort by the White House to marginalize the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, quote, supposed effort, end quote, by the Health and Human Services Department to put a gag order on the insurance company Humana. Obama's repeated criticisms of banks and investment houses. What's wrong with that? His alleged taking names of bondholders who resisted the GM and Chrysler bailouts. No proof of that. And the president's criticism of insurers and insurance companies in the healthcare debate. None of that constant. If Lamar Alexander apparently doesn't know what an enemies list is and doesn't have any idea, quite frankly, what it was that people were upset about with Richard Nixon. Lamar Alexander, in other words, is just another hack. He's just another hack politician. He's got no answers. He's got no way out of the forest. He's just another hack coming along and playing politics. You guys want that? Good for you. You want to swim in that sewer? That's fine. That's okay. Ain't nothing going to get done. He just wants to make sure that whatever it is that this guy Obama wants to do doesn't get done. Now, what will get done? What will be proposed by Lamar Alexander where it won't be a 2% increase on the cost of health care over the next 10 years, where the numbers are going to make sense, where people are actually going to have health care coverage, and at the same time, it won't break the bank, like they're saying that this Democratic bill will. What have they put on the table? And I'm not talking about how they said, well, we're going to, you know, look at that. There's a lot of co-ops and there's a lot of agencies and things like that. At the end of the day, when the Republicans are asked what their major criticism of the health care bill, what is their major criticism of it? At the end of the day, they don't have any criticism of it other than the fact that it's expensive. They don't deny that it's needed. They probably don't like the public option. They want to go with a co-op, or they think that maybe we can have that tort reform and that's really going to kick in. But at the end of the day, they know we need it. They know that it's costing a lot of money for us to acquire health care in this country. And we've given you the number $2.2 trillion a year. They know that all of that is going to break us right over the knee of history if we don't do something about it. They know all of that stuff is true, but they don't like the Obama thing because it's a little too expensive. And yet there isn't anything in that plan that isn't needed. And they acknowledge that it's needed, except for the public plan, which is 5%. 5% of the uninsured. Now understand something, folks. There's an old saying, the truth hurts. You don't have to agree with me. You don't have to like what I'm saying. You don't have to want to listen to any more of it. But it isn't going to stop me from wanting to say it because, by God, I'm getting so sick and tired of being manipulated and lied to and proselytized and propagandized by, yes, both sides, conservatives and liberals. And if that means that I don't take a stand, then I guess I just don't want to belong to those two clubs because they're both sacks of crap as far as I'm concerned. Neither one of them have any interest in this country getting better, healthier, smarter, anything. And along comes this guy from Tennessee, Lamar Alexander. He's going to stand up in the United States Senate and he's going to talk about how there's an enemies list, or maybe an enemies list, or we hope there isn't an enemies list. There's only one thing that the Republican Party right now wants for this country, and that is to ruin 4 years, 4 years of opportunity that we've got to get something done, anything that's good for this country. They want to destroy it. Now, I'm going to say something to you guys out there who are Republicans or whatever the hell it is you think you are and what you think you support. The old saying, what goes around comes around. What's happening to Obama right now is the result of a lot of progressives and liberals who ripped into George Bush and called him a war criminal and every name you could possibly think of. And if you don't think that this isn't the chickens coming home to roost on that one, think again. But the way things happen in American politics, that merry-go-round goes around one more time, and by the time you get a Republican in the White House, what do you think you're going to have to deal with? What I'm saying is the following. Somebody's got to grow up. Somebody has got it. Don't ask Obama to do it, because he's the president, and it's chic and vogue and almost expected to rip into him. I'm talking about whoever it is that's leading the charge on either side. Someone's got to become an adult here and recognize that all of this stuff is not getting us anyplace. This guy's going to spend time talking about an enemies list. They got a piece of health care legislation they want to get done. There's some other stupid ass going after Acorn. All right, Acorn is Acorn. Either investigate these guys for criminal activity, present some real criminal evidence. See, if you go into an office and you find people saying things about how they used to do this and they used to do that, I hate to break the news to you. That's not proof of a crime. That's not proof of anything. You go into an Acorn office and somebody says, you know, I used to be a member of the SS, and I was one of Hitler's bodyguard, it doesn't mean a damn thing. It's just somebody blowing off a lot of hot air. You got to find evidence of a crime having been committed. That's why that guy, that O'Keefe and that Giles, that's why those two people bother me so much. It's not that they're trying to do a good investigative journalist job. It's that they haven't uncovered anything other than the fact that Acorn hires stupid people. Now, do you think anybody knows the difference? No. No. People think that what this guy has is some hard evidence of a crime having been committed. There is no evidence of a crime having been committed. Stephen King is another example of the worst kind of United States Congress I've ever heard in my life. I don't even know. I think the people that voted for him ought to be ashamed of themselves, if you want my honest opinion. But all right, let's listen now to Lamar Alexander here. He says the Obama White House is showing signs of the Nixon White House due to their ongoing media war with Fox.
I want to make what I hope will be a friendly suggestion to President Obama in his White House, and it is this. Don't create an enemies list. In 1971, Chuck Colson, who was then a member of President Nixon's staff, presented a list of what he called, quote, persons known to be active in their opposition to our administration.
Yeah.
Mr. Colson said he thought the administration should, quote, maximize our incumbency.
Uh-huh.
Or put it more bluntly, and I'm using his quotes, to use the available federal machinery to screw our political enemies, unquote.
Uh-huh.
All this came out during the Watergate hearings. You could see an administration spiraling downwards, and of course, we all know where it led. Now, the only reason I mention this
is
because I have an uneasy feeling.
Oh,
only 10 months
he's got a feeling.
Into this new administration.
He's got a feeling.
That we're beginning to see the symptoms of this same kind of animus developing in the Obama administration.
Is that what you got a feeling now? Is that what you got? We got a feeling and a sense the same kind of animus? Let me tell you something.
It's stupid.
All right, here we go.
President Obama today agreed to commit an additional 40,000 troops to help fight Fox News.
It's stupid.
I tell you, it's getting ugly in the press room. Well, senior White House advisor David Axelrod told reporters that Fox News is just pushing a point of view. Well, yeah, but at least they got a point of view. I'll take that.
That's the truth. All right, here is Liz Cheney.
And I would just say on the Fox thing,
all right, thanks a lot. This next piece, no, here she is.
And I would just say on the Fox thing, one of the things that really struck me was watching, again, Rahm Emanuel and David Axelrod try to get a secondary boycott going, you know, saying other news organizations ought to be careful, really looks like sending a very clear warning out there. You know, it's clear censorship, and it's, in my view, abuse of power from the White House. So I think it's concerning and radical, yeah.
I think it's that, and it's as I've been saying. I think it's almost like they've got their enemies list.
Oh, so is that where Lamar got his idea? Because Sean sent it? Oh, come on. Look, you got 3 hours a day to fill. You're a talk show host on the radio, I could understand. You only have 1 hour, Sean, and you have writers.
What you do with a bully is you confront the bully, and then the bully backs down. And that's a good description of Fox News. People come on the air, they insult them, as they did me. They cut off their mics, as they did me. They shout at them and interrupt them, as they did me. And they even curse at them, as they did me. And why would anybody think that Fox News is some sort of valid news organization like that? Fox News and the National Enquirer are basically interchangeable.
All right, that is that Grayson clown. He didn't want to be in the news, but now he's in the news a lot. You notice that? 877-876-PHIL. We'll take a phone call and go to a break. We have Josh here in Nashville. Josh, what's going on tonight?
Nothing much, Phil. Hey, I've been thinking about this whole Newt Gingrich situation, actually, and sort of got a theory. I'm not really 100% on it just yet. The thing about Newt Gingrich, and I've subscribed to his newsletter for about a year and a half, so I've been kind of keeping up on what he's, you know, stating on the record. And to me, this sort of seems like it's not about endorsing a candidate who will possibly win, but I think he's trying to reestablish himself with the media. Now, not just on Fox News, because he'd probably go on there all day because he's a big Republican Revolution hero, but also that Republican Revolution also ostracized him. And during the Bush years, he was pretty much a laughingstock, even though he, you know, the whole 2008 win, in my opinion, which is why he disappeared again so quickly. But I just really get the feeling he's trying to reestablish himself with the media. He's trying to get on some Sunday shows. He's trying to get some some invites, maybe some cocktail parties.
All right, how do you explain? I don't agree with you, and I can tell you why. But I think I can explain. Maybe I make my point better by asking this: how do you explain Thaddeus McCotter?
Well, like I said, I'm working on it. I'm not 100%. I'm not actually.
I'll answer the question for you. No, I'll answer the question for you. You know, Newt Gingrich lost a lot of credibility in the late 1990s because of personal problems that he had.
Yeah.
And people wanted to sort of distance themselves from him on that. I believe, though, at the end of the day, Newt Gingrich is pragmatic enough to recognize that this Republican Party is, you know, obviously, as we pointed out before the election last year, was on its way into the crap can of history, and they had to do something philosophically to change things. They tried to get Michael Steele in there. They had an entire, you know, they lost all kinds of momentum because Rush Limbaugh was suddenly sounding off about all this stuff. They are, in the persons of Gingrich and McCotter, saying the following thing: our social conservatism is the thing that has harmed this party more than anything else. When Sarah Palin was added to the ticket with John McCain, it was waving the white flag of surrender, as we said at the time. Nobody believed it. All the conservatives were very happy. Well, they didn't get anything out of it. They lost. Nobody wanted to vote for that. No one wants to vote for that kind of unrealistic ideology. And I believe that he and McCotter recognize this, and that he and McCotter are saying the most important thing about being a conservative has always been the bread and butter issues and the national defense issue, and abortion and gays ain't got nothing to do with it, and we've got to get rid of this, and we've got to, you know, move on our way. Something to think about. I could be wrong. Josh, I appreciate that. You know, you're the guy that's reading Gingrich's newsletter, and I'm sure that he's probably doing a fair amount of explaining of that in that. All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number, and at the top of the hour, we have Professor Emery Clayton to talk about the Contessa Brewer, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton mix-up, and other issues relative to that. And at the midnight hour, and that would be 3 o'clock East Coast, we have Bob Green. He'll be discussing with us TARP money, bailouts, and bonuses. Bob Green from Fraser Foods, the CEO. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What I'm going to tell you is the absolute truth. There's no other side to this. Now, it may make me sound inflexible. It might make me sound dictatorial and overly dogmatic and egocentric. I don't want it to, but I don't know how to say this any other way. What you're seeing in this country is very American. It is cultural and it is philosophical, but it is almost in our DNA as well. We instinctively rebel against certain kinds of moves made by our government from time to time because it appears to us to be something that's un-American, that is overly European, that is anti-individual liberty. And remember what the country was founded on, really: individual liberty. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. What were we talking about? A person. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We weren't talking about the whole country. We weren't talking about a town. We weren't talking about a state. We weren't talking about a club. We were talking about the individual. And anything that it appears to go against that, even appears to go against that, and that is reinforced. What goes against that has been reinforced down through the years. Big government goes against the idea of individual liberty. It never, ever occurs to us. Never. And we're Americans, so you'd think we'd get this, that in America, when the government is big, we have all of the capability to have that within our control and to direct it any way we want to. It may be big, it may be small, it may be something in between. We have it within our power to control that monster at any given time. Well, we've talked ourselves into believing that, no, you can't do that. You have to fight it. And anything that appears to be big, we must fight, even if it's a good idea. I could bring up example after example after example after example, and I have on this show, over and over again, of instances where government has gotten things done and gotten things done very well. It doesn't make any difference. Nobody wants to believe that. No one will believe that. You can tell them, here's an example, and here's an example, and here's something else, and here's an example of where government and industry work together very well. Nobody wants to believe it. If you say to yourself, I'm going to believe that, I think Phil's right. He has examples. I'll look them up. If you do that, then in the minds of some, they're completely lost now. Now their entire focus and their entire, their orientation is completely shot to hell. We need a whole new way of looking at things here, people. I'm telling you. Why do you think Thad McCotter supports a candidate that Acorn supports? Think about it. We'll be back here with Emery Clayton on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.